Hear now the gospel reading from Matthew. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." And then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." This is the gospel of grace. Thanks be to God. Amen.
As has already been said this morning, today is the baptism of the Lord Sunday in the church, the Sunday on which we remember and celebrate the baptism of Jesus. Jesus came down to the Jordan to be baptized by John, and as Jesus was coming up out of the waters, the Holy Spirit fell upon him in a form like a dove, and a voice from the heavens was heard, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." Every time I read that part, I think of the first baptism I ever performed on the Vermont side in Lake Champlain in late October. And the father of the baptized, who, as his son was coming up out of the waters, suddenly gave out a loud yell, stripped off his shirt, ran off the deck, and did a cannonball right into the cold water. Some things just aren't in the order of service. This was his beloved son with whom he was well pleased. When we talk about baptism in a Baptist church, we usually do so in the context of what John's baptism was all about before Jesus. John the Baptist came preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And John's baptism was a kind of symbolic washing, an outward and visible sign of an inward and invisible intent to get ready for the coming of the kingdom of God. But of course, when we think of baptism in this way, it begs the question, well, why then did Jesus get baptized? He who was said to be without sin, he who had nothing for which he needed to be washed. Well, I want to think on that this morning and suggest to you today that there might be another way of looking at the baptism of Jesus, and perhaps at looking at baptism in general. I want to suggest this morning that after Jesus, baptism should perhaps not only be seen as a washing away of sins, but just as, or perhaps even more importantly, as a kind of commission, a profession of faith and declaration of intention about one's life, and an ordination into the mission of the coming kingdom of God. Just who is ordaining Jesus is important in this story. And in fact, it's always important who is doing the ordaining. I was ordained in North Carolina by a minister named Hardy Clemens. And he was ordained here at Broadway by a minister named Guy Moore. Guy Moore was amongst the group of white Baptist ministers and Southwestern Baptist Seminary faculty members who in 1963 stood up and told the school board in Fort Worth that it was time to finally integrate. Hardy continued that kind of prophetic leadership as he pastored my home church in Lubbock when I was a child. And so I asked Hardy to preach and to lay hands on me at my ordination because I hoped to carry on that same kind of courageous witness he and Dr. Moore lived out in their own ministries. When Jesus asked John to baptize him, he did so for a reason. It was a declaration of intention. It was an act of ordination into the same kind of prophetic ministry John himself was living out. And we can think then all about what it was that John's ministry entailed, who it was that John was, what his ministry and mission were all about. A priest who protested the corruption of the temple by leaving it behind and going out into the wilderness to be with the people. A prophet who called the nation and its leaders to repentance and its society to justice. A preacher whose message was to make everyone ready for the coming of the kingdom of God. So I think Jesus was being very intentional when he asked John to baptize him. John would have prevented him, the scriptures say, saying, "I need to be baptized by you," but Jesus was adamant about it. He wanted John to baptize him. And he wanted the people to see and to know that he too would come in the same way as John. He too would preach justice. He too would preach repentance. Jesus too would come preaching readiness for the arrival of the kingdom of God. So Jesus was baptized by John, and all who were there saw the sign of the Holy Spirit fall down upon him like a dove. And this is, in this story, an essential part. An essential part of the act of ordination. Jesus was ordained or anointed by God, the Acts reading today tells us. And the community around Jesus, John's First Baptist Church, recognized the gifts of that ordination. They saw in Jesus a person anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power. And they recognized that that anointing had come, in John's words, not from the will of flesh or the will of men, but from God. Another old Broadway and Southwestern Seminary faculty member named Franklin Segler literally wrote the book on ordination. In it, he had wonderful phrasing for what the community around John witnessed at Jesus' ordaining baptism. Siegler said that ordination on the part of the community is always an act of approval, not an act of bestowal. Ordination, he said, is an act of acknowledgement that God has bestowed certain gifts and has called the individual to service. The act of ordination symbolizes what God has already done as a work of grace in the life of the person called. The community recognizes the grace and the gifts. It was by the grace of God that Jesus was called. Something inside Jesus called him to come down and to be baptized by John and to be a part of this coming kingdom of God that John was preaching about. John and the community around John recognized that call in Jesus' life. They saw the signs of God's anointing upon his life. And they recognized the gifts and the graces that he had to offer for mission and for ministry. That's how it was, and that is how it still is. God's grace is poured out on a person for a certain call. And the community recognizes and affirms that call and the gifts that the Holy Spirit has given. Almost 20 years ago, the very last thing in the world that I wanted to be was a preacher. I had no natural gifts that I could see in myself. I wasn't a good public speaker. I was from Lubbock. We talk funny out there. And I, to confess to you, wasn't even really sure what I believed about God. But I was sitting in a pew inside the sanctuary at First Baptist Washington, D.C., and the preacher who was preaching touched me. And something inside of me said, you can do that. You're supposed to do that. You have to do that. And the next thing I know, Hardy Clemens was laying his big hands upon my head inside the sanctuary as I wept on the floor of my ordination. Something was calling. Not by the will of flesh, nor the will of men, but by the grace and gift of God. And I'm so thankful for that. Or take our own Bradley Resnicek, whom I don't want to embarrass. Well, kind of want to embarrass. but who was sitting in these very pews 25 years ago at the dedication of the Clyburn organ, listening to the great organist Fred Swan. And something inside of Bradley said to him, "You can do that. You're going to be the organist in this church one day." And recognizing and affirming the call and encouraging the ministry of music, there was our then organist, now organist emeritus, Dr. Al Travis, yet another professor at Southwestern Seminary. The old Southwestern Seminary is getting a lot of good press this morning. Who saw the gifts and affirmed the call, the sense of ordination and commission. So I ask this morning, how about you? In a little while, we'll give the invitation to respond. And I hope that we will not just respond to come and to be baptized and wash our sins away, but maybe there's something deep inside of you also calling, summoning, commissioning for the mission of God. Is something inside of you being ordained or commissioned? Is something inside of you saying, "You can do that. You are going to do that. You too will play. You too will preach. You too will prophesy. You too will proclaim and serve in this still coming kingdom of God." Is the dove descending on your life also? You don't have to be a professional musician or minister, but either way, is God calling you to come and be a part of God's mission? If so, then this morning I pray that you will answer that call, whatever it is. And I pray that you will say yes to the ordination that is upon you, and the Spirit of God in Christ that is within you. And if you do, then I'm sure of this. I'm sure of this. That God will say just what God said to Jesus when he came down to those muddy waters to be baptized by John in the Jordan. You too. You too are my beloved child, with whom I am well pleased. Cannonball splash. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God and Mother of us all, and together all of God's children do say, amen and amen.